We beseech thee, O Lord, our God, to make the most holy mysteries which thou hast given us as a defense of our renewal, a remedy for us now and in the future. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Words, dear brethren, from today's post-communion. In early Christian times, in the early first couple centuries, there we know of many martyrs for the faith that suffered under the hand of some of the Roman emperors during that persecution. And I want to tell you of one such martyr. His name was Genesius, and he was born a pagan, and the emperor Diocletian chose him specifically, because he was an actor. He was an actor for plays, and he chose him specifically to do a play for a celebration day that was taking place in Rome. The emperor himself was going to be there for this grand event, and he wanted to be entertained with a comedic play. And so he picked out Genesius, who he said, you know, was one of his favorites, and said, "You organize this play, make it funny, and put it on." And so he, being a proud Roman citizen, did so. He was very happy to do so, and he thought to himself, "What can I do? What can I do for a comedic play? Well, right now there's a persecution waging in Rome, and I know I have some friends that have taught me about the Christian faith, and I have a great idea. Since the emperor hates it, and I'm a pagan, I have no problem with it, I will mock the Christian faith in a play." And so he gets up on stage, and he's there in front of all to see, and then all of a sudden he big and dramatic-like, falls down sick and feigning that he's hurt and ill. And he's on the stage, and the companions, the other actors, come up to him and say, "Genesius, what can we do? What can we do to help you out?" And he says, "Oh, I'm so ill. I feel I'm weighted down by this great and heavy burden." And they said, "Well, how do we make you lighter? Perhaps we'll take a jointer's plane and cut off pieces of you to make you lighter." And he said, "No, you fools, you can't do that. That's not what I'm talking about. I want you to baptize me, the wages of my sins, and I want it gone, and I want to die a Christian." And this was all part of the play. It was supposed to be that he would go forward and do this mock baptism, and mock the sacraments, and mock the Christians. But as he said those words of asking, that saying his desire to be baptized and die a Christian, a miracle happened. The divine light inspired his soul, and those words which he said, which were meant to be said in jest, he said in all earnestness. He actually, at that moment, changed his heart and really did want to be baptized, really did want to be a Christian. Well, what seemingly was the play continued on. These two men that were supposed to be priests came out, and they went through the rite of baptism. And Genesius was there in all earnestness, accepting this to be a baptism. And then they went through all the ceremonies of the baptism, and then in the end clothed him with the white garment and took him before Diocletian, as if he was going to be persecuted. And he stood there, and he proclaimed Jesus Christ to be God. Diocletian thought that he was still acting. He thought he was still part of the play. He was playing along. And so he ordered them to take off the white robe and to put him to the torturers. And then they went to grab the white robe from him, and he grasped it. He held it close to himself and refused to take it off. And he said, "No, Jesus Christ really is God. I proclaim him to be so." And Diocletian was enraged by this sudden conversion and sudden act of faith by a man whom he had chosen specifically to do this comedic play. He was enraged by this, and he ordered him sent to the torturers. And sure enough, he did. He went, and we were told of some of the various tortures. He was placed on the rack and stretched upon it, and torn with iron hooks, and had torches put to his sides. All of these horrible, horrible things. And all the while, never once did he complain or cry out in pain, but instead praised God all the way through. He said, in the end of his tortures, he said that there is one Lord and one God, Jesus Christ, whom he will always serve and always love, and that who he would rather die 1,000 times for than to ever deny again. And with those last words, they cut off his head, and he died a glorious martyr's death. And we see in that wonderful conversion and baptism, we see that spirit of this Sunday. We see what this very Sunday embodies. Today is known as Dominica in Albis, Sunday in White. And oftentimes it's mistakenly thought it's the Sunday in white because the priest wears white vestments. That's why we call it White Sunday or Sunday in White. It's white vestments, white lilies, white candles, all these wonderful things. That's why. But no, that's actually nothing to do with why it's called Dominican Albis. Rather, it's called that because it was on this day that the white garments of the neophytes, the new converts to the faith, were shed. When they were baptized, and the traditional day of baptism of Holy Saturday, as you know from seeing baptisms here, a white garment is placed on the newly baptized person, and they put it on, and they wear it, and it symbolizes the pureness, the spotlessness of their soul now, that has been cleansed of sin by baptism. And so that's part of the ceremony itself. But in days before, long ago, they would actually wear that white garment, not for the end of the ceremony, not for just through the Mass that followed, not for even just Easter Sunday, but that whole Easter week. They'd continue to wear that same white garment as that outer sign to everyone they encountered that, yes, they truly were Christians now. They truly were spotless in their souls before God. And they wore it all the way up to this day, and until after the Mass, they would take that off finally and re-put on their normal clothes. That's why it's called Dominica in Albis. And we realize for ourselves that each and every one of us has had that white garment put upon ourselves. Most of us certainly don't remember because we're probably babies and, you know, we were too busy crying and fussing at the time, I'm sure. But we all had it put on ourselves. We all, at one point, had our souls completely pure, completely spotless, completely beautiful before the eyes of God. We all wore that white garment exteriorly, and most importantly, interiorly. But instead of guarding that garment, instead of protecting it as the greatest gift God has given us, we are careless. We sully it. We allow things to fall upon it. We sometimes even cast it off into the muck and the mire, which is sin. We allow ourselves to enter into temptation and to fall into sin through our own carelessness, through our own forgetfulness of the whiteness of our souls and the promises made in baptism, and the devotion that we have from that to our Lord. We forget it. And we treat it like any other piece of cloth and throw it to the side. But we needn't do that. We should always be focusing once again, each and every day, a new refocusing upon our desire to one day be with our Lord in heaven. Our desire to one day not just simply celebrate this Easter season as a season of joy that we celebrate here because our Lord has risen from the dead, but instead of realizing it as our own destiny itself, realizing that the joy of this season is fleeting, that the joy of this season is small, minuscule in comparison to the joy we're meant to encounter in heaven. We see our Lord in Easter rising from the dead. We see that he conquers death, not just raises himself from the death, but conquers death itself. He's the only man in the history of the world to raise himself from the dead. Perfect proof of his divinity. He does so, conquers death, and conquers sin by death. But for ourselves, we must conquer our own deaths. We must conquer our own sins. And in order to do so, like our Lord, we have to die first. We have to die to those things that we desire so much and are attached to so much that lead us away from God. We have to push them aside. We have to guard our souls. We have to protect our white garments and keep them clean and present them back to our Lord upon our last day. And how do we do this? It only comes through prayer and sacrifice. But our prayers should be one prayed with confidence, asking our Lord for the help which we know he will give us, and the willingness of our own hearts to accept his assistance and to fight that good fight each and every day. And in doing so, striving to one day join our Lord in heaven, thinking each day of those promises we made in baptism, or that our sponsors made for us in baptism, promising to reject the world and the devil and all his pomps and all his temptations, rejecting all these things and searching after only one thing, God, searching after him, the light of the world, in whom we were baptized so long ago. May God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.